You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about the drama between Brazil, Argentina, CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers are getting interesting. Also, CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers are getting even more dramatic. Weston McKennie, what happened? We break it all down.
That's right. Plus, we talk to Christian Ramirez. You might remember him from his time in NASL, his time in MLS. Now he's at Aberdeen, all the way in the Scottish Premier League. We talked to him about everything from what did his mom think when she went to Scotland? What does he think of the food there? And what would he do for an in and out to go to Aberdeen? That and more today on the Cooligans!
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copenhagen here. You might not know who I am, but you've got nothing better to do. So watch the Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link,
do
something.
That'll do. That'll perfect.
Do. Yeah, baby!
Yes! Vamos! Let's go! Look
Let's
at
go.
This! Another one, another Cooligans to get excited about, everybody.
Yeah. Are you telling us or you?
Okay, I'm looking in the mirror. Right?
Damn, I just yelled, yeah, baby, longer than some Venezuelan players have been on the pitch.
Record time. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero-Ros.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Football Sports Network.
Uh-huh. It also happens to be the Gullies, but I think you already knew that, right? I mean...
Okay. Yeah. The Gulliness levels are being brought by CONMEBOL this time around.
Bro,
okay?
World Cup qualifying, World Cup gullifying, okay, is what's happening.
Okay. Yeah. There seems to be a certain level of, prison rules when it comes to...
Let's go. And there's a reason World I'm wearing this kit. Is it not, Christian? Because we got a player from Aberdeen on the show.
That's right. Christian Ramirez will be joining us a little bit later. Aberdeen FC striker. You remember him. You may remember him from his time in Major League Soccer, NASL, with Minnesota United, LAFC, Houston Dynamo. And now all the way from Scotland, he is chatting with us. So stick around for that. Okay. So let's discuss what's going on in CONMEBOL, these World Cup qualifiers. Football TV, the exclusive streaming home for the South America World Cup qualifiers, okay?
And that's right. And who knew it became a TV novela?
We're realizing it was a good investment from Fubo TV, okay?
Things have happened during this CONMEBOL World Cup qualifier.
Right? It seems to be good television, right? Because not only are there obviously great games, important matches, but there is drama. And there was no higher peak of that drama than with Brazil against Argentina.
Which was the highlight match. Yeah, this was the one everybody was waiting for, and they brought the sauce.
Exactly. Even if it was a 0-0 draw, it still would have did numbers because of how big a match like that is. A rematch of the Copa America final. Everybody was tuned in. And then, about 8 minutes into the match?
Well, 8 minutes in, they understood the assignment. They brought the pageantry, okay? They brought what you expect for South American soccer. Yeah. They brought it.
It's like, why do these pitch invaders have weapons? You know what I mean? Because the Brazil-Argentina match was suspended. It was stopped because Brazilian health officials saw that Argentina had players that came from England on their roster in the starting lineup. They had four players. I believe it was Emi Martinez, Emi Buendia. Who are the other two?
Wasn't it Lo Celso?
Lo Celso and Cristian Romero.
Yeah.
Four players playing in the game, and Brazilian health officials were like, no, wrap it up. We can't have these guys in here.
The Premier League clubs did send them to Croatia to quarantine.
Right.
But they would have, I don't know if they would have missed the match or they wouldn't have gotten there in time had they taken the full 10 days that they were supposed to. So they took it upon themselves. They're like, wait a minute, we have money and passports, right? So we should just fly to Argentina on our own. The way it's being told is that they sneaked out of, I'd love to see them like tie bed sheets together to sneak out of Croatia. I don't think that's what happened. But they went to Argentina on their own and they thought it'll be fine. What are they going to stop the match right at the beginning by invading the pitch to arrest us and deport us? Turns out the answer is yes.
Yeah, that was exactly one of the options. Yeah. And that is what they chose to do. So it was a pretty, I mean, wild scenes. I've never seen anything like this before. I mean, I know the COVID era is all, you know, it's unprecedented. We've heard that word quite a bit. But the fact that the Argentinian players were in Brazil for 3 days, they chose to stop the game when they did. Like, I've said this before. I don't know what difference it makes that, you know, if you let these players play out these 90 minutes. Yeah, sure, you're frustrated that maybe, you know, the Brazilian national team, they follow the rules. No English, no players that played in England were playing. They were missing 9 players.
Right.
And so they follow the rules. Argentina did not. They tried to get around it. And I don't know if it was Bolsonaro himself, but that was like, send them in. You know what I mean? Like, really?
I mean, I would have done the same thing. I want everyone to know, it ain't fair. If I got to play by the rules, then Argentina got to play by the rules. The moment, I don't care if it was the 89th minute and we losing, we sending the Poe in, okay?
So the
this
health
ain't even
cops,
12 because they're health officials. This is 13. Send 13 in.
The health cops came in and you saw the shocking thing was the Argentinian players, like Nicolas Otamendi, literally push away. You're probably seeing it now. Push away one of these health officials, which the health officials also were dressed like NYPD subway detectives. You know what I mean? They had the badge, wearing a black tee. They were just missing the Yankee fitted.
Right. It was the tightly tied running shoes. You know, where'd you even find those New Balances?
Get them in your size. Why are you tying them so tight?
Can you feel your toes?
So the absolute scenes, man. It's you don't even know how to react because you've never seen anything like it. This game is now suspended. The Brazilian players they pulled the goal into the middle of the field.
Yeah, the rest of the players were like, well, look, we prepared for a game, so you just want to do a quick pickup?
So they just started having a kickabout, all right? Yeah. A little training sesh.
Put right on the pennies and just let it rock, which is... I mean, you know what? I'll show that. Can Fubo get the rights to that?
And that's what ended up being televised for a fair amount of time because they didn't know what was going to happen with the game. But everybody was just couldn't believe, you know, what ended up happening. So I wonder what this is going to mean in CONMEBOL for the rest of qualifying with FIFA.
The problem is, remember, all these dates are already truncated as they are, right? It's all such a compressed schedule already. And now you have to miss one because the cops showed up and ruined the party. You know what I mean?
They were doing everything, man. Like seeing all just the images of seeing Messi arguing with these health officials. He's just trying to make sense of it. You see him saying like, "We've been here for 3 days. Why are you doing this now?" Nobody understood. Even the Brazilian players were like, "Let it go." Like,
yeah,
we just want to play this game. It's just gonna make it even more difficult. Brazil's probably a lock, obviously, to go through. They haven't lost the game.
That's why Brazil didn't care. They're like, even if we lose this one, just let's move on. Come on.
So I'm wondering what this is gonna mean for the rest of qualifying because. It's obviously schedules, and then there's going to be the same issue, like getting players in, quarantining, like everybody's dealing with this.
Some of these players might be banned from playing with their clubs. It's such a everything's upside down.
Yeah, yeah. The Brazilian players that didn't report or whatever. There's so much. This is par for the course when it comes to just federations and dealing with clubs and there's everybody wants it sort of their own way. Like if the clubs had to say, they're like, these players, you know what, Roberto Firmino, you're from you're just from another country.
Give up your passport. Let's just do this. But it also goes to show, like, if you're from a Latin American country in South America. It's the nation over club all day, every day. They're sneaking out of Croatia to go play soccer. I mean, this is huge. Yo, Christian, I want to start by apologizing. I know we were supposed to be shooting, but Just went out with the homies. You know what I mean? I went out and I shouldn't have. Please don't send me to Italy.
Sure. Okay, but all right, you calling the homies your bachelorette party?
Hey, whatever. Those are, you ever seen them change a tire? Those are the homies right there. If you obviously don't know what we're talking about the men's national team. Qualifying hasn't gone to plan. I'm not that worried. How worried are you? Obviously, look, we had three matches in a week. The first two we've drawn, not incredibly good, but we took 2 points.
Right.
Right? So not the worst case scenario. This is not the best case scenario,
yeah, yeah.
Though.
So, we're taping this before the match against Honduras, so we don't know the result of that yet. But based on these first two, it's a little nerve-wracking. I think it was two very, very winnable games, especially the game against El Salvador. But the concern, obviously, Weston McKennie, what happened, bruh? You know,
I don't want to throw too much shade on Weston, because all of this is rumors. We don't know. All we know for sure is what U.S. Soccer has said, which is that he broke COVID protocols. He went out and then he brought somebody.
What?
Yeah. No, that's a new. It's a new medication he's taking. He left the bubble and he brought someone into the bubble, right? And there's rumors of who that is. Are they related to a player? You know, it doesn't matter. That's all we know, right? Is that he left the bubble, went out and partied, and then he brought someone back into the bubble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he got sent back to Italy, right? And people were like, oh my God, is he never going to play, blah, blah, blah. But we're also hearing a lot of rumors. There's a tweet going around from someone that may or may not be his dad. We don't know. We can't verify that information. That said he took it on the chin for other players and refuses to dime them out. Yeah. So he's the one. So he's a great friend and a great teammate because he's taking it on the chin and he'll take the punishment without snitching, which, right? Cooligans approved, right?
Okay. No snitching. He's about to do a bid for the homies that Alexis hangs out with.
All right. He took the pinch. He took the pinch on the chin. You feel me?
Okay. We're going to take care of you when you get out, though.
All right. No. Bags when you get home. You'll be all right. What you call it? He's going to be on the next song with Bobby Shmurda and Rowdy Rabble when he gets out. By the way, he's not going to jail, just in case anyone doesn't know what's happening. But he is going to go back to Juventus, which is very much
I should go to prison for partying too hard.
What you ain't here for? Some bullshit. What
Lock
you ain't here
up,
for?
Officer.
What you in here for? Partying bullshit. That's what I'm in here for. How do you, if this, let's say that's true. Let's say that he did go out with other people. And by the way, we have friends that were in Nashville for this game. And mm-hmm. I got some DMs from some of them saying that there were rumors that people were trying to find Weston McKennie and Christian Pulisic that night. They were like, oh, we hear they're partying. And they were going club to club, which obviously Nashville is a big party city. So right. Good luck finding them.
This is very unfounded. You're really bringing in. You're throwing
I'm
a lot
saying
of people
these
under the
are
bus, Alexis.
Rumors. I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm telling you, we started getting some of these DMs after the fact. So there's all types of rumors going around. Nobody knows if any of them are true. If it turns out to be true, I just broke the news. But what do you feel? What do you feel about that? Because I know we were all kind of disappointed, and Landon Donovan is the most disappointed in Weston McKennie. How do you feel about it, knowing that possibly it wasn't just him, and he's just being like, "All right, I'm not gonna rat anybody else out."
It doesn't make a difference to me. It is when it comes to this is, in my opinion, if Weston is partying or whatever, or breaking rules that can affect the team, I'm gonna say I don't think it was solely I think it's a team thing. Like, for him to say, let's say if it's exclusively him and nobody else, which is like, it's almost impossible to go. You're Weston McKennie. Everybody knows you.
Yeah.
There's no real way you could just walk around the street and nobody notice that you are there and maybe should be somewhere else.
Especially in a town filled with soccer fans ready to watch a match. You know what I mean?
So that I think it's a team issue. If one player thinks, oh, I can leave, or I can do whatever, or it's not a big deal. There, what, like the I think it's a leadership issue. It is you got to blame the people at the top. It is simply if Berhalter has not set some tone that this is not cool and nobody should do this, and it's one of those things. You know how when somebody in class messes up, the entire class gets punished for it. That's kind of how I see it. Everyone should be punished for it so that everybody knows if one person is the weak link in the chain, everybody suffers. So I don't want to solely focus on blaming Weston McKennie, because it's an easy thing to do. But the bigger picture here, and this is why people are upset, is that we missed the last World Cup. We do not want to miss another one. The U.S. men do not want to miss another one. And people are going to get angry. People are going to create rumors. People are going. It is. We're realizing more and more, because we've been spoiled for so many years about the U.S. men constantly making it to World Cups. And it's never really, it's CONCACAF and we're better than blah, blah, blah. And now we're realizing we missed the last one. We could miss it again. Financially, this could affect so many people. So people get upset. There's a lot of pressure on everybody, from the networks to the players. So I'm at the very least, we're getting the drama that is showing how important the sport is to this country. And it's only going more and more because of the ridiculousness we see from the media. Like the person I'm staring at, who's like, oh, they were out partying or whatever. There's all these people there. Literally, I saw Tyler Adams, doing
on a mechanical bull.
It's ridiculous.
He did play for Red Bull, so that makes sense. Whatchamacallit? I honestly think this is one of those things where I feel like this team needed something. You know, they beat Mexico twice in two finals. Mm-hmm. Right? You needed something. You needed an enemy, a chip on the shoulder, something to rally around. And we got it. We got it. Now this team needs to prove something. Weston McKennie proved how much of a leader he is. He went out and partied and brought back that biddy so that he could get in trouble and that nice. He knew he would take it on the chin. He convinced other people to go out, or as soon as other people convinced him to go out, he went out, got caught on purpose so that this team would solidify around each other. Okay. So really, at the end of the day, salute that hero, Weston McKennie, right? Who smashed that dime piece just so that we would get into the World Cup. Sometimes you've got to take the less scenic route, you know what I mean? The unpaved road just to get in the World Cup.
What a visionary, what a hero, what a strategy.
Right?
You know, really, I think we have the new USMNT coach on our hands.
Some would say Weston is thinking outside the box. But it really doesn't fit when you think about the scenario, what I just said. It's actually very much inside the box. I don't know if that's even going to make it on the show.
All right. Shouts to Ali Long, friend of the show. We got to talk to her on the pitch after the Gotham FC match. 150 appearances.
How insane is that? And you commemorate that by having to talk to two idiots. Awesome.
Okay, no better way to ring that exciting news. We had a great time at Gotham. We got to host Latinx Night they were playing against the Chicago Red Stars. Such a great time. Thank you again, Gotham FC. We got to be on the runway with the ladies.
They do a fit check. If you don't know, Gotham FC does this incredible thing, fit check. Look, these players show up swagged out. The drip is insane. So they have this like slow-mo video of them, and they kind of treat it like a catwalk. And as soon as we were asked to host Latinx, I was like, we taking part of that fit check. And they were like, no, we don't need you guys. And I was like, I don't remember asking. Like, we walking in 120 frames, 6K. You feel me?
Yeah. So cool, man. The level of swag and confidence. I'd never been on a runway before, but I've never been more intimidated in my life.
Well, Christian, you should have asked me for advice, because you know I'm the vice president of the modeling club in high school, right?
Because the walks, the moves, the hips, everything. I was like, bro, I need training.
Dude, right? Christian and I were like, what are we doing with our hands? You know, we had no idea. But no, I mean, obviously something that is taken very seriously, and we were honored to be a part of it. Dude, the gamesmanship starts on the way into the stadium. You know, the competition is already hot.
Literally, as soon as you step out of the car, you know, that is when it begins.
Dude, I popped that squat. And low key, I was like, I don't think I'm gonna make it up out of this squat. They're gonna be like, yo, Alexa's holding the squat for a minute. I'm gonna be like, yo, Christian, come help me. I don't think my knee can take this.
The entire evening from there. Okay.
Yo, bring the step and repeat over here and lower a little bit.
My goodness, get one of Bielsa's stools. Uh-huh. And you just get a, have him sit there on the pitch.
Yo, Ali Long, sit applesauce crisscross or whatever it's called, because we doing it from down here.
But no, again, we had such a great time. It was incredible to be the in-stadium host for an NWSL match. That was the first time we got to do something like that. So, again, shouts to Gotham.
And so
FC
many friends
for,
came
for
out. You
got to
come
there.
Check it out. Check out the game. So many friends came out. It was a blast.
Exactly. And all right, we got Christian Ramirez of Aberdeen FC coming up next. So come through.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay.
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going to...
Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? Hi, Christian, our guest is finally here, and this is exciting.
Wait, are you talking to our guest already? Wait,
oh, that's
I don't
right.
Understand.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go with CP and CR just to make sure we're talking to the right people here, because obviously our guest is named Christian. But this is an absolute honor from the pride of Santa Ana, California, all right? But somehow fell in love with Minnesota, played in MLS, and is now in the Scottish Premier League with Aberdeen. The kit I'm wearing, obviously this one's a little bit older and a little bit bigger, which is why I'm wearing it. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to ask this guy a couple questions. Can't wait to have him on the show. The one, the only, put your hands together if you're not driving, for Christian Ramirez, everybody.
Christian, what's up, man?
What's up? Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely honored to have you on the show. Yes, you are currently in Aberdeen, in Scotland. Let's be real. There aren't too many Latinos out there, okay?
No, when his family left Colombia, this is the dream they had, is that their child would end up in Aberdeen, Scotland.
The first impression I've seen when your time there, people already love you, man. You went in, you started doing work, and fans, they created songs for you. It seems like the Aberdeen supporters are really, really welcoming you. So what's been that first experience out in Scotland?
It's been cool. It took me a little bit to get used to how they speak up here because it's a whole new language.
Right.
So you got to sort of
It's
be
actually
rude
not,
and tell
by the way.
To,
it is English, but you couldn't
down.
Tell by listening to it.
No. You got to tell them to slow down and repeat themselves. So that was the difficult part, but I'm getting better at it. Just getting accustomed to this little city. I think it's the third biggest city in Scotland, but it's a bubble in itself. Everybody seems to recognize you wherever you go, even with a mask on. Right. So I think I just stick out for being one of the few Latinos out here. So it's been pretty cool.
Because this happens to us when we go to Europe. Like in America, I'm Cuban, Christian's Dominican. But once we leave the United States of America, we're American. Do they recognize you as Latino? Like, are they dancing cumbia when you walk into the stadium? What's happening?
No, they're singing USA during the game. Like, if people listen closely, there'll be times in the game where they're just chanting USA, and there's a USA flag that the supporters carry now. So that's been pretty cool.
That's wild.
It's been an awesome, you know, just some of the highlights that we've seen. Obviously, we get to see some of the games out here. But the, you know, seeing that love, like I said, the fans are creating a chance for you and things like that. As far as the just getting acclimated with the game itself, is the Scottish game wildly different from MLS, from NASL, from your time in the U.S.? What is the kind of the thing you noticed that you noticed instantly?
This is it for them. It's life or death, essentially. You see fans and supporters who have come their whole lives, got 80, 90-year-old men and women who walk up to the stadium to watch their team, support their city. And then you got little kids who are yelling and yeah, you've seen videos of kids all over the world singing chants and leading chants. That's what it is. It's essentially life or death every weekend. And I think that's been the biggest adjustment, is recognizing like that if you lose, it ruins a lot of people's weekends until the next game. And then when you're winning, things are good, but when you're losing or you're not performing and you're getting draws, the expectations are a little
right.
bit higher.
I'm an Arsenal fan, so I feel you on that last part, that sad part. I've had a rough start.
I'm sorry.
a lot of zeros out there.
There's not enough apologies in the world, yeah. Christian. Let me ask you this, because you are a Southern California boy, and we asked Miguel Ibarra when we interviewed him what it was like being in Minnesota. I think the difference is much bigger for you. What was it like? What was it like making the decision? Was this, did they reach out to you with interest and then you Googled it and you were like, are we sure this is where, there's not an Aberdeen in Southern California? We're sure this is Scottish Premier League. Like, what was that decision like, and how big of a change culturally is it? Because we've talked a little bit about it, but like, what did your parents have to think about you going out to Scotland?
Well, my mom was like, when do I get on a flight with my wife and kids? My mom's been here for 6 weeks. She actually flies back tonight. But
that's amazing.
It's been a culture experience. And I think that was something that I've been chasing my whole life, was to be able to play abroad. I've had different opportunities in Mexico that fell through. And this opportunity I felt like was one of the few ones that I couldn't pass up. So I pushed it as much as I could, with the Dynamo to help me, do this, since I only had about 4 or 5 months left on my deal with them. And it's about just experiencing this lifestyle, memories that my daughters and my wife and I will have. I mean, we just had a whole week off for international break. So we hopped on a plane and went to London and explored London. I mean, just knocking out different countries while we're out here, whenever we get time to. And that's part of the whole experience of why I wanted to do this.
Yeah, isn't it crazy how cheap it is to fly in Europe?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it nuts?
I can't get my mind across it. Yeah.
It sounds like, at first I thought they were going to throw me in with the luggage. I'm like, $100? Are you sure?
Yeah. No, flights from here to Spain are £25.
Whoa. Like
it's insane. Yeah.
Dude, this meal, yeah. Your meals that are more expensive.
That's practically a PJ, whether you let other people on. I'm in my private jet. I know it says Ryanair on the outside.
I love the fact that you told your mom you were going to Scotland, and she was just like, tú no eres solo, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
¿Quién va a cocinar por ti?
¿Cuándo me mandas? ¿Cuándo me mandas el avión?
Yeah, that's essentially what it was. I kid you not, she just made me tortillas right now. And my mom's Colombian, but there's no Hispanic food here besides the one little grocery store section. So she left me.
What do they sell in that section? Is it just rice and beans? Is that it?
They sell like these like pre-made El Paso like fajita mix, like make your own fajitas with like tortillas and a seasoning.
Oh man.
There's a one Venezuelan restaurant, and who's actually owned by a Venezuelan guy.
That was gonna be my next question. Is it just like a guy named like Reardon, you know?
No, I actually met him So he's a good dude. But there's a random couple Mexican food places, but that's about it.
It's wild.
Okay. I want to know about this because obviously we've spoken to a couple either Scottish players or former Scottish players, but haggis is a very popular thing in Scotland.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah. Have you had it?
Nope. No. I've been told to stay away.
First of all, consider those people good friends. They care about you, Christian. But what is there a reason why? Do you know what haggis is?
If it's what I'm thinking it is, then yeah.
It's a stomach. They use the stomach and then they fill it with sheep's like liver and lungs and stuff. I gotta say, you gotta try it once. It's a shame if you don't at least try it. No one's telling you to eat the whole thing, because if you did, I'd send your mother there to get you and come back. That's wrong. It's the size of a soccer ball.
Maybe in the off-season. I don't know.
Yo, our producer said throw some hot sauce in there. You might have to spill the bottle on there. Yeah, but you got to try it.
Put that fajita mix.
Hey, somebody sent me a huge bottle of Tapatio. So.
Good.
My wife and I are surviving.
Here's another food item that I know of Scotland that very popular. We've mentioned on the show before. It's something called Pizza Crunch. Have you heard of it? Or Pizza Crisp? It might be crisper. They basically deep fry.
I'm gonna put it in my notes.
Yeah, they deep fry a slice of pizza. he's like deleting it from his notes now.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
it's revolutionary, apparently.
It is Pizza Crunch. Yeah. All right. Pizza so you Crunch, haven't had right. it yet. This is probably why you're running so well and scoring. this is why you're playing so well for everything. You haven't weighed yourself down by haggis or Pizza Crunch. You also just scored an amazing equalizer. I also saw you've scored an incredible header. You had that sliding goal against Ross County. Talk a little bit about that sort of being who you are. I mean, we've known you from your time in MLS and your time in USL and NASL. Dude, you're a bucket. You score goals. That's what you do. You know what I mean? And taking that, now doing that in Aberdeen, how does that feel, being able to score those goals in the Scottish Premier League, knowing I even got it out here? And what do you think can happen from here?
No, it's something that I was searching for, to have a manager like Stephen Glass who just tells me day in, day out, just be yourself. I don't want you to feel like you need to be somebody that you're not. And I think that's something that I needed, because this last year and a half was the toughest year and a half of my career, to be honest. And so I just came and I'm being myself, enjoying myself, playing with a smile. And I've had plenty of conversations with him and with Alan Russell as well. They tell me, look, even when you're not having your best game, we feel like anything can happen and you're going to end up getting a goal. And that's what happened several times, especially against Ross County. I think a couple of previous managers that I've had would have pulled me, because it was my fourth game in 2 weeks. I felt tired, but then somehow I ended up sliding into the net to tie the game in the 90th minute. Yeah. So it just shows the confidence that they have in me, and I'm glad I can be repaying them with goals, and hopefully that continues.
Yeah, that part of it is it's great seeing, because we, especially in MLS, you know, when a team signs a designated player coming from overseas, he's from Argentina, coming from whatever, and then like fans and the teammates are like, yo, we're excited about this dude coming through. But it's nice to see it with an American player going to play overseas. And now you're the dude that everybody's like, yes, thank you for the reinforcements. I've seen some of the headlines that like Christian Ramirez here to save the day. And I'm like, oh, this is dope.
Secret transfer window weapon. You know, like, right, pretty dope.
Yeah, no. So, it's like a new window that they opened up, where they're like, oh, now we got a new market in the States that we can pick from, type of thing. So it's been cool, especially because Chris Mueller from Orlando City is coming in January to the Scottish Premier League. So if more guys need advice or interested, I know I personally have told my manager here that I'll help talk to whoever he's trying to get over. And I've had a former strength coach who knows Chris Mueller, and Chris Mueller's going to reach out to talk about the league. So I'm open to anyone and anything who wants to know about more about this league, as I'm still learning about it, but I'm loving it so far.
That's dope. You talked a little bit about how frustrating the last year and a half was. What made it so frustrating? I mean, for those of us that are fans on the, it's because I think it's hard for us to place ourselves in the position of a player. All you end up seeing is whether they got results or not. And then they're, you know, it's like the player's damned if they do, damned if they don't, right? So like no one knows exactly what's going on in the background. What makes it so tough for a player, and why is that such a relief that you get to sort of be yourself now?
Because essentially I didn't play. I would only play if, at the time last year was Manotas when he was hurt, and he was hurt for 6 weeks. And I played for those 6 weeks, and the team went undefeated in those 6 weeks. And I scored 2 goals and an assist in those 6 games, and then didn't play the rest of the year. And then this year I was only going to play if Maxi got hurt. And I played 1 game and I scored a goal, and the rest of the time I would come on in the 90th minute for a minute or two. And so it was essentially just like, I think the stat was this last year and a half, I had 8 goals in 31 games, but I want to know how many of those I started and how many of those I played more than 4 minutes. So it was frustrating to see people talk about that I wasn't good enough to break in the Dynamo, and then come here and I'm scoring goals, and that's something that's a bit bitter in my mind, that I'm sort of using it a little bit as motivation to at some point hopefully get a chance to redeem myself in that aspect. But that was the tough part. I couldn't do anything to get on the field, and hey, it happens for a reason, and I'm here in Scotland, enjoying myself with my family and making the most of it.
Yeah, worked out.
Yeah, it's look, it is a, you know, we've spoken to enough players to know like that the personal side of the game, and then the business side of the game, and then what happens on the field, what happens off the field, like it's all, it can all be very complex. But I mean, the one thing that has been consistent throughout your career is that pretty much everywhere you go, people love you, man. But a lot of people show a lot of love. And, right. And I want to get to our Gully Squad questions. Gully Squad is our supporters group. That is the Cooligans fan base. And they are huge fans of you. So it's hard to decide where to begin, but you had mentioned your look, I'll ask this, and this one's pretty salty, but it's pretty funny. But it is a Minnesota United supporter, and it simply asks, Nick Sint just asked the question. He says, why does Adrian Heath hate fun and goal scoring? That's, you don't have to answer that.
But the laugh, the look that just came over Christian Ramirez's face is, Adrian Heath got my number. Don't do this to me.
he doesn't hate fun. I think he gets a bad rep at times. Nothing but love for him. I know that people put it aside that like I got shipped out because of him and stuff like that, and I mean essentially it's part of the MLS and how the salary cap and stuff works. Same thing in LA, you could say. Adrian's got my number, Dr. Bill's got my number. If I have my way, at some point there'll be a homecoming, and I can finally play at Allianz.
Okay, that's right,
okay.
Man.
That was actually one of the questions, Nick Gunlock.
I haven't played there.
Yeah, I know. There. Nick Gunlock actually asked, "What would playing a match at Allianz Field have meant to you, or what will it mean to you when you do make that homecoming?" As you just mentioned,
there's a conspiracy going around that I can't play at that field unless I'm in a Minnesota United jersey. So that's part of the reason. Last year, the night before the game, I had a false positive test with Houston, and I didn't even get to go the next day. It's just anything that's happened has stopped it from happening. So it can only mean one thing.
That's crazy.
Next question. This was from Kyle Carr. He had asked a question. What goal was your toughest to score? The 2014 bicycle kick against Indy 11 or 2016 volley against the Railhawks. I mean, and I remember seeing that the bicycle. I mean, that was nuts. That was an incredible goal.
You didn't clarify which one of the volleys against the Railhawks.
Oh, you did not.
Okay, see, that's what a striker does right two. There.
No,
a striker remembers every damn goal.
That same year.
You guys remember your goals from, like, high school. How do you do this?
Hey, they're all the same memory. If it's the Railhawks one that I opened the season with, at Carolina, then I think that one was tougher, just because of how far it was from.
But then over a bicycle kick, the bicycle kick has to be tougher, no?
Yeah, but when you catch a bicycle clean, I mean, it just.
I can't catch a real bicycle.
They'll pull up that volley. And
I fell off my scooter. Never mind a bicycle. And this guy's just out here scoring bikes, talking about like it's nothing. You actually mentioned this isn't one of the Gully Squad questions, but you've played in the lower leagues. You've played in MLS. Now you're overseas. You played for the men's national team, and I'm sure getting that call up from Dave Sarakin was a huge deal. How hard are you trying to get back on the men's national team squad? And you think you got a chance?
I'm doing what I can. Just like any other American that's been called up or on the list. I was on the prelim list for 2 years before Dave called me into January camp. And then I stayed that whole year being on a prelim list the whole year until Greg finally called me up and gave me my two caps. So I know what I would, I've said this jokingly. It's not really a joke because they had such great careers and one still continues to have a great career, even, with his time with the national team, but guys like Wando and Alan Gordon, who would be called up to the national team when needed, even if it was just for 20 minutes late in the game.
Right.
And they would run their tails off and score goals late in games, and which was essentially what I did in my first two caps. Was I came on in the 20th, the last 20 minutes of the game, and I scored, and then I flicked the ball onto to Seba, who played Paul in for a goal against Costa Rica. So if Greg needs me, I'll be here, and I'm just controlling what I can, which is playing well, scoring goals, and if my time comes again, I'll be more than happy to put those colors on.
Okay, last question, just about have you been watching the World Cup qualifiers while you're there? I know the time difference is a little tough, but any thoughts on just on two draws in these last two games?
Yeah, it's been tough. It's a young group who. Has so much potential in coming off of such a huge summer. So the expectations are high and everybody, it's so weird because like so many people want to see the U.S. fail, even like Americans.
It's crazy.
It's such a weird dynamic. But I think we'll turn it around and Greg's a great guy and he's got the guys that'll follow him and put them in the right position and hopefully they get a good result in Honduras tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, we're hoping. Look,
they need a goal scorer. I know of one hanging out in Aberdeen, avoiding Haggis. Okay. You know,
you know, and the flights are pretty affordable.
Yeah,
so
from what I hear, I mean, it might be cheap to get him out. You know,
Christian Ramirez, thank you so much for joining us, man. For real, it's an absolute honor. I know you're out in Scotland. I know it's a little bit late there, so we really appreciate the time. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
No, just follow me on my Instagram and Twitter. I don't really have anything else going on, but follow this crazy journey that I'm on. I know I'm pretty active in sharing what I'm doing with the family and as well as travel here with the team.
Okay. Yeah. You can, obviously watch the Scottish Premier League games. They're on ESPN Plus, so you go check them out. Okay. Christian, now we got a couple of pieces of business before we let you go. We are getting to our Golasso gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal that we will turn into a gift that will live on the internet forever. Alexis will give you a scenario, and you can celebrate it however you like. So, Alexis, what do you suggest?
So for some reason it's the 90th minute of a match. It's a free kick. You're pushing up against the defenders because you know that ball is going to be spun right to your head, and you're thinking, man, I got to score this goal because someone told me if I score this goal and we win, they will open an In-N-Out in Aberdeen.
Wow, a lot of pressure, big goal.
So you can score this one. How
do you celebrate
this, Christian?
You got to do it.
But you score.
How do you celebrate
and
that?
In and out. They cut the red
tape
with the
style
big
celebration.
They cut the big ribbon right in front of you. How do you celebrate this, Christian Ramirez?
Oh my God. I just have to start praying.
What'd you do? You do open hands, you go close?
Right. So you have to do everything at that point. You want an In and Out in Aberdeen.
They won't even open one in New York, but you're going to get one in Aberdeen. Yeah.
Amazing. Christian, thank you so much for joining us, man. Again, like I said before, an absolute honor. Best of luck and continued success out in Scotland and wherever it leads. So thank you so much for joining us. Let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please, Christian Ramirez, join us in this as well. But before we go, make sure follow at Fubo Sports on all social channels. Follow at Soccer Cooligans and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes and more clips of the program. All right, Christian, let's end the show the way we normally do. With that said, for Christian Ramirez, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Christian Guerreros.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!